Good afternoon and welcome to a very special two-hour edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm going to start this afternoon by welcoming Jen, who will explain to us how the show will work. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. I can hardly believe it's here. Can you?
No, my body is electric.
Me too. It's one of those we talk about it for months and do all the planning, and then suddenly it's just time to sit down and make the call.
There we are.
Really fun.
Yes, yes. So what do we have in store for us this afternoon?
So I have a bunch of points to cover, and I hope that you will jump in if I miss anything. It's pretty high level. You know, I'm not used to having this much information that we really cover.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's really exciting. So we have the two-hour show, and, of course, it's in support of the DPAP process, the Deepening Practice Action Plan process that we kicked off with the video workshop with Sherry on Sunday, which I thought was fabulous.
Me too.
Yep, really quite stellar. So we'll be doing the show in two segments, and as we get to the segments, we'll introduce them. We have topics for each segment, and we're going to ask, at a certain point, we'll take callers during those segments, and we're going to ask that people stick to the topic at hand. So I know probably a bunch of people have already started to call in, and that's fine because I think it's very, very likely that people will have something to say on the topic. But we are going to really ask people to stick to what we're looking at in each of the segments today. And if you have something you really want to talk to Sherry about that doesn't fit into one of those categories, we just ask that you call back at a future show. And we're really going to try to take as many callers as possible in these 2 hours. And in order to do that, we're going to stick pretty strictly to timing on it, where the calls are going to be somewhere around 3 or 4 minutes. And to assist with that, as Sherry is facilitating the calls, I'm going to actually moderate. So I'll ring a bell at 3 minutes to give a signal to Sherry and the caller that time to start wrapping up, and then again at 4 minutes for us to move on to the next caller. So not to be surprised by that. Let's see, what else? I did want to mention that it's possible that if you're trying to call in, I imagine we'll have a lot of callers tonight, and it's possible that you're not able to get through on the 800 number, and if that's true, then you can, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to get through on the other number. Do you have that in front of you, Michael?
Yes, it's the direct talk show number, and that is 724-444-7444. And that's also listed on the Open Air page on the Living Compassion website. It's listed under the section for people calling from other countries.
Okay.
So that's the area code, 724-444-7444.
Okay, good. Because I know that I think there is a limited number of folks who can get on that 800 number. So if you're bounced back, just try the regular number.
Yes.
So anything else, Michael, you think I missed or we should throw in there?
No, that sounds great.
All right, so why don't we go ahead and bring Sherry live.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Sherry.
I feel resuscitated.
Oh, there she is.
I am now live.
Now live. How are you?
Good. Very, yeah, I'm right with you. You know, we do all of this preparation, and then suddenly it's here. It's kind of hard to believe, but
it is.
I'm ready.
Cool. So our first topic, the first segment of the show, is about bringing more of our life into practice. And this was one of the main elements that we looked at the video workshop on Sunday. One of the things that I loved, and by the way, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that it's in process, that whole video workshop is going to be online. So anyone who missed it is going to be able to go and view it.
Yes. That's my understanding, too.
Great. So, but one of the points I just loved was, I think you started us off with, or at least this is what I heard, that there are really two things we know. We're born and we die. That's pretty much what we can say actually happens. But what happens in between, the how of that, that's what we have some influence over. And in the discussion we were having, we were talking about that's why we practice, because we can have some influence over how our lives go. We have very little influence, as far as I can tell, over what necessarily, but a lot of influence over how.
Yeah, and so we, you know, from as far back as we have wise people quoting things or leaving things for us that we find quotable. they've been trying to say, you know, this is it, folks. We don't get to the, well, of course, if you're Buddhist, you might have a slightly different take on this, but this is the only time for us. This is the only time you're going to be Jen, Michael's going to be Michael, Sherry's going to be Sherry. This is it. And when it's over, it's over.
Yep.
And so many people live their lives as if, as soon as I get it all right, as soon as I'm the perfect person, as soon as I meet the standards, these ever-moving standards of karmic conditioning, then I'll get to have the life that I want to have. And, of course, we watch people die in bitterness and resentment and frustration because they never were allowed to get to that time of having the lives that they wanted to have. And the life that we want to have is the life we know is ours to have. And that's the life that's being taken away from us by those voices in our heads, that conversation with karmic conditioning. So the thing that I want for people, and I hope they want for themselves as much as I want it for them, is to have their lives focused on what makes them happy. What, you know, the way we talk about it, what lights you up. So there's that, you know, there was a time in our lives when we all just couldn't wait to jump out of bed in the morning because it was just another exciting day of having fun and being alive. And then slowly for most people that just gets worn away until the waking up is, I have to face another day. And that it just shouldn't be like that. So when we have something in our lives, you know, we fall in love or we get excited about a project, we have something that we really want to do and we're doing it, then that excitement is back, that spark, that enthusiasm. And that's what happens with us when we bring more of our lives into practice, when what we're focusing on a daily basis is feeling good in that sense of good, in the sense of good person, good life, good time.
Yeah.
So we're focused on gratitude and joy and appreciation and kindness. And, you know, we're at center. We're living from our hearts. And it's living in that place, actually, ironically, interestingly, that opens us to more and more things in our lives that also reflect that place and return us and keep us in that place.
Mm-hmm.
So the more in touch with my heart I am, the more open I am, the more life is bringing things into my life that result in that lit up place. And the more I stay in those activities and in the surroundings of that lit up place, the more I'm in touch with my heart, the more my life works. And so that's what deepening practice is for me. And so we want to spend more and more hours out of our day focused on conscious compassion awareness, living from the heart, from center. And one of the quick ways to get there is to be doing things that bring us to that experience.
Yeah. It's so perfect that the year of deepening practice would start off with a theme like bringing more of your life into practice, because it occurs to me that, and I know this is true for me, that so often people come to practice because of something in their lives. There's something that's not working.
Yes.
And they bring practice. We sort of apply practice to that, and that something gets better. And so often there can be this sort of, okay, you know, I kind of got what I came for. And then, at least in my experience, suddenly realizing, I'm going to need to bring all of my life into practice, because in the way that one thing was transformed, everything, every part of my life can be transformed until my life is practice.
Yes, and what we're talking about with practice is being fully awake and alive in the moment. That's what we're practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is nothing in our lives that isn't better with practice. Except suffering, you know, in that sense that, you know, if the voices are haranguing me about being the wrong bad person and what's not working, practice is going to eliminate that from our lives. The things that we enjoy, people that we care about, the things that we like to do, all of that is just going to get better and better and better with practice.
Oh, so true. So we actually have a first caller lined up on this topic, and then we'll take more callers after that. Renee has agreed to be with us to talk about the myriad ways that she's done that, that she's brought her life into practice. And as we're talking to Renee, I'm going to invite callers to begin calling in on the topic. And so some things to consider about that, to call in and tell us about your successes with bringing areas of your life into practice, the stumbling blocks you've encountered, commitments you've made that have supported you, and strategies that have worked for you in bringing more of your life into practice. And also encouraging people who maybe feel like, gosh, I'm not sure where to start on that. What does that mean? And as I consider that, resistance starts to kick up. So if you've got that, if you're looking at that, call in about that as well, or anything else that people saw in the video workshop in this section. So anything else about that, Sherry, before we invite Renee on?
No, I'm eager to hear.
Excellent. So welcome, Renee.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hi, thanks for asking me.
So you've really focused on bringing really both your work and family into practice, and you've also created quite a successful fundraising project to support practice. And I wondered if you might just kind of tell us a little bit about, I guess, both the how and the why of doing that and the results that you've seen for your practice and your life in doing that.
Right. Well, the why is because I was suffering. So I used to have two separate lives where I practiced, and then I had this other life where I went to work and spent time with everyone else, and it felt sort of like it was a secret or something. So,
the practice was a
yeah.
secret. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the practice was kind of a secret, and, you know, I didn't talk about it a lot because I projected people didn't want to hear about it or, you know, that sort of thing, all the stories about it.
Kind of odd. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so at some point I just realized if I want to stop suffering, I'm going to have to bring this into work and my family life. And so I started using the content of those areas of my life in bringing it into practice.
Go ahead.
So the first thing, I think the foundation was a couple of years. I'm not sure whose idea it was. It doesn't really matter, but
life's idea, no doubt.
Yeah, it was life's idea of developing a practice plan.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember which year I started it, but I think it's been 2 or 3 years. So at the beginning of year, about this time, sometimes earlier, right after the New Year's retreat,
uh-huh.
I would do a practice plan, and I would write it down and sign up for as many things as I could right at that moment, you know, at that time,
mm-hmm.
and then keep that hung up where I could see it frequently and make sure that I followed it as closely as possible for the whole year.
Wow. So realizing, okay, so you had this life where you were practicing, and it sounds like having some degree of success with not suffering while you were in practice, maybe on retreat or whatever, doing the practice opportunities that you were participating in. Meanwhile, over here in the dark room,
yeah.
having sort of
yeah.
your regular life, being kept out of practice and realizing there was still suffering there and that your only shot at living in freedom all the time was to bring all of it into practice. And it sounds like a key element of that has been setting this in the beginning of the year, really setting out, well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to bring all of my life into practice? And I'm guessing really sticking with those commitments through the year.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, there's times that things come up where I would have to reschedule something or whatever, and that was okay, you know, but mostly I stuck with it, especially the weekly things, you know, the reflective listening, the guidance appointments, the working at home meditations, all the things that I could bring into my life. And then, you know, I always try to do at least one retreat a year, if not more, shorter ones or going to a workshop or, you know, something like that. But mostly keeping up those ones that are consistently sort of interfering with my life.
We'll have a chance actually during the email class that's coming up, we'll be talking about that at the end of the show, we're going to be doing some some of the radio shows around giving specifics on practice opportunities, so we'll have a chance to get more into that.
Right.
But I'm curious in particular if you would take a minute to talk about how do you, in practical, bring your work life and your family life, for example, into practice. What are some of the ways that that looks?
Right. Well, I've done reflective listening at work with people. So, like, I just changed the words. We don't, I don't do it exactly the way we do it, but just a little bit different where they just don't notice that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And that actually opens me up a huge amount with people.
Yeah.
And lets me see them and myself. And
because, of course, you really have to be present to do it.
Well, completely. And you notice all the things come up that normally you would react to inside and, you know, from the way people are, what they're doing or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they also get a huge benefit because they are, you know, being listened to for a change. And and then I also sometimes do the 10-minute or 15 minutes where, like we do at the at-home working meditations, where I write down what's going on in my mind every 15 minutes.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, and that helps a huge amount. And I do that at work, especially when I have work to do that, you know, isn't involving other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I tell people about what I'm doing. You know, I don't keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell them that I'm a Zen student and I'm in awareness practice. Today I told everyone I would be on the radio show. And then I notice when I'm suffering, just like we do when we're on retreat. So I like, okay, well, that person really causes me to suffer a lot. Or, you know, that person, they're not actually causing me, but I mean they're doing
right.
something that's causing me to suffer. And I take that and I break it down to see who's getting the beating and, you know, do all the things that we do, look for the kind of process, map it out, detail it,
yeah,
just
yeah.
like anywhere else. And before it was so separate.
Yeah.
And now it's not. So I had these stories going on that I couldn't do it at work because no one else was there, like,
right.
that was doing it.
Yeah, and then suddenly you got it, what Sherry's always talking about. Oh, there is no one else. Everyone
yeah,
is me.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
the person at work who is irritating me is a perfect reflection of something that's going on for me. And so suddenly you shift from, oh, I can't practice at work because that person's not practicing, to, wow, that person's actually assisting me to practice.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a lot of new content that
yeah.
you know, you
yeah,
with.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot of free workshops.
A lot of free workshops, yeah. And then if you jump into family.
You're getting paid for.
Yeah, exactly. And then family, you know, the same thing, telling them a lot of things that I'm doing and looking at things that are bugging me with them. And it's quite awakening when you're, you know, when you all of a sudden see what they've been talking about for years that you've been doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like that awakening where you go, oh, wow, I really am hard to live with, or I really, you know.
Yeah.
Not in a beating up sort of way, but just an awareness.
Yes, I was just going to say, it can
yeah.
sound like that's self-hate, but it's actually the opposite, isn't it? It's
yeah.
bringing that into awareness, where probably before, when it was under the radar, it was sort of in an unheard self-hate conversation. But bringing
mm-hmm.
it up into awareness, suddenly there's the compassion for it, and there's the really being able to see it and have an ability to make a choice.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And reflecting listening with family is just, especially with children, is probably the most rewarding thing I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just, you just see them in such a different way, and they see you in such a different way, and it's just so loving to do it with your children and your partners and, you know, parents. I mean, it's just
yep.
so
yep.
different. Yeah, different relationships.
Well, I'm glad you're giving that testimonial because I'll underline that when we do the show around sort of walking through the opportunities that are available to people, so we make sure we give some people some background on that. So, Renee, we do need to move on, but anything
okay.
else you wanted to throw in before we take some other callers?
No, I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Michael, I feel certain the callers are piling up here as we're talking.
You are correct.
Lots of people waiting to talk to Sherry. So just a reminder that we're going to follow the format of after about 3 minutes, I'll ring a bell, and then again at 4 minutes, and we'll go from there. So are you ready, Sherry?
Well, I am, but I happen to know one of the things you didn't get to with Renee is one of the things that I find most exciting in the world.
Okay.
And that is that she came up with making those bracelets, those practice bracelets that we all are crazy about and wear all of the time, that say on it what it is that we want to. For instance, the one I have on right now is Peace, Love, and Joy, and that they're available on Sangha Market. And it's one of those, it's one of those things that I think, I wish I had thought of that. It is just so brilliant. And I have a feeling that generating financial support for practice is fairly easy for her based on that. I happen to know that she just darn near made a huge dent in financial commitment at the New Year's retreat, where it just flew out of there on everybody's wrist. So just with that kind of, when you're sitting around in the evening and the conversation with self-hate is trying to decide whether you should have that next bowl of ice cream or one more piece of pizza and which sitcom you should watch, the alternative is something like making bracelets with practice reminders that inspire people and support practice. So
that's great. And again, and by the way, I'm wearing Believe Nothing and Happiness.
Good. Yeah, often we'll have 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Depending
I look around
on what's
at the
going
video
on right
on,
now.
On Sunday, yeah. And it was just, there were dozens and dozens and dozens of them in the room.
Yeah.
But again, to underline for people, and we will have time in future shows to talk specifically about Sangha Market and supporting people and coming up with ideas and all of that. So much more to come on that. But thank you for mentioning it.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Jen.
All right, Michael.
Okay, Michael.
We're ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hey, Ramita.
Hello, Sherry. Sunday was amazing, absolutely. To be able to participate with Sangha and feel that portal open as part of participating was just wonderful.
Good, good.
Yeah. Just sitting with the koan of deepening practice has made a huge impact on me since the new year. And just waiting for these events to start, the mentor started suggesting ways that I could deepen practice. And one of them was to set my intention for the year as kindness, no matter what. And I think I need to get a bracelet that says that.
Aha. Uh-huh. I know where you can get fixed up with that.
Well,
that's
I'll
great.
Do that. Yeah.
That's a big part of it for everybody, right? About the first conversation we want to have about deepening practice is with the mentor, who always has stunning wisdom about how to do anything in our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now, if I'm at work or, driving the car and sort of like, oh, my gosh, I need a practice tool, I can focus on the heart and breathe in and out of the heart and go to kindness for myself as like a touchstone, no matter what.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely so. Go ahead.
And then it goes into other things. I think over the last few years I've been working with a new relationship with my body and taking that on in a new way, saying, this is my project. I'm going to address the body with kindness. How can I be kind to the body? And seeing the difference between kindness and overindulgence. So I'm working out more, my diet's cleaning up, and it's been a gentle self-discipline, a compassionate self-discipline. That's all seems to be adding in. Like you were saying earlier, we start on one thing, it feels so good, I have energy to do more, and practice on top of practice.
Yes, and so one of the elements of this deepening practice, of course, is being more of a support to others and to practice in general. I happen to know you're a healthcare professional. And so you know, people are all, go to that place of, well, what could I do? You know, what could I do? And I think, well, in a case like yours, you're doing this process that much of the world is desperate for. And so could you teach this to other people? Could you support others in doing this same kind of compassionate self-discipline and mindfulness practice about bringing more kindness and compassion specifically to the body? And this is completely outrageous. It would be possible, I'm not saying you should, but it would be possible for a person actually to do it as a kind of like a fundraiser, where other people who would have an interest in assisting people who couldn't necessarily afford this kind of support and care would be interested in making donations to support you to be able to do that. But there's always an angle to bring more and more of life and more people into that, into practice and loving kindness.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deep Gusho.
To you, Vanita. Good night.
Good night.
Hey, Mike.
Thanks for joining.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say thanks for joining us, Romita.
I cut you right off. Just a little feedback before we go to the next caller. Did that bell just, was it so loud in your ears? I couldn't tell how close to put it to the phone.
No, it was fine. I heard it. I think we all probably heard it.
Okay,
it was good. Thank you.
Great.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Greta.
Well, good evening, Greta. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing pretty good. I, too, enjoyed the video conference. I'm looking forward to getting it online.
Excellent.
So to speak to the topic, I guess the thing that comes up for me is I think I've been kind of fortunate in some ways to have my life set up in a way that supports practice. And some of it is because of my conditioned self, but it's an opportunity that over the years has been turning more to supporting practice. So, you know, there's just me and my husband. I don't have a lot of commitments. I live in a rural area. I go back and forth to work, and it's more of an effort to get out and do some of the social things that for some people their whole life is filled with.
Uh-huh.
So I'm able to structure my life if I choose to be supported in my practice and to give a lot of time in my day to practice.
Uh-huh. So it practice is really a good fit with sort of your inherent nature or your basic being.
Yeah, and it's also all the challenge too, because
yeah.
I can go with conditioning and just say, oh, you know, I'm not going to do that, or I can challenge myself to say, oh, well, who's making up that decision, and you know, look at it a little closer and do what supports me, not what contributes to conditioning running my life.
Uh-huh. So we can go on either side of it, right? So there's the person who can never stay home because they're such a social butterfly, and then they have to find the discipline to turn their attention to the things that support the heart more than just kind of flitting around on the surface of things. And then there's this sort of natural-born hermit who needs to bring some self-discipline to participating more and being more available to support Sangha, and in that way to be supported herself.
Right. And I think the value that I see, at least in the way my life is set up for me, is there are so many distractions that draw me away, and I just have the opportunity to have some of life anyway be more like the monastery without those distractions. I don't have the radio and the TV going. If I want to, I can have, you know, cooking meditation and just kind of focus in. But like you say, then there's always the challenge to find that middle way.
Yeah, to participate more.
Right.
Yeah, to be more available.
Right, and you know, that's what's so great about our practice, the way it's set up now, is it's there for me for as much as I want to avail myself of, as much as I'm able to. You know, I know many people who say, well, I've got to find a spiritual teacher. Oh, that sounds really interesting. But they don't avail themselves of the things that are just right there.
Yes.
And with our practice, it's pretty hard not to.
Right. We will track you down and come right into your home unless you stop us.
Right. And, you know, and I appreciate that so much because I practice is, you know, when I get up in the morning, I'm practicing. I see conditioning arising and I can choose.
Yes.
And that, you know, it feels good in the sense that, you know, we have to start somewhere. And if life has that space for us, we can choose how we're filling it.
Yes, that's exactly so. Yeah. And as we realize that the more we fill our lives with things that fill our hearts, the happier we're going to be. And the resistance that we run into is always the resistance of ego not wanting to lose its ability to control us. So,
right. Well, and I've been having those experiences, so I understand that.
Yes, we can all sympathize, can't we? it's a worthy opponent, as our friend Mr. Gandhi would say.
Yes.
All right. Well,
thank you
very much. It's good to hear your voice.
Hey, yes, yours as well.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. You're listening to Open Air, and we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi. I'm great.
Good.
This is fun. Okay, so do what?
Tell us about practice.
Oh, yeah, I will. Well, I wanted to, so bringing life into practice, the thing that came up for me on the webcast yesterday that was so surprising and so powerful was the guided imagery about what lit us up really revealed to me what lit me up, and it was surprising that because I had gone into the guided imagery sort of thinking I knew, and so I got to see that it was all of these instances from my life of when I was in front of a group presenting or getting to facilitate groups and getting to teach and getting to talk about things with people, you know, and I remember just driving home thinking from group that I would, you know, facilitate, I'm so lucky that I get to do this, and just being giddy. So all these circumstances kept coming up in that guided imagery, and anyway, it was just surprising that that's what it was to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so is there a proposed application?
Well, there were, you know, because I remember you saying that about it just will drop in. Oh, I could do this, you know. And there are some things sort of on the horizon that are already in the works. And so nothing new has dropped in. But what did, I was doing the two chairs exercise last night, and what I saw that was so fun was how there was this belief that I have to make it happen then.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So now I've seen this great thing. Now I have to make it happen. And this part of me was saying, that belief just sucks, and I don't want to have that belief anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good to recognize that what a weight that was having on me, and just letting it go.
Yes, and so I'm guessing that the alternative to that, of course, is truly being open to the opportunities that are presented, because what conditioning will do, as you well know, is so this great insight happens, and you see that, yes, that's what lights me up. Then somebody says, well, Rebecca, would you blah, 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 and condition mind says, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, God, that sounds hard. That's boring. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we really want to watch out for that because, of course, each one of those is life following up, right?
Yeah.
And our job is to learn to say yes rather than looking to conditioned mind for, is that a good idea? Does that fit with a, I don't think so. I don't like those people. I don't want to go, yeah, that's too. Yeah.
Exactly.
And suddenly it's like, I never get to do anything that lights me up. And in that moment of clarity, we get to realize that that's because I've said no to every opportunity that ever was presented to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because there was this belief that was capturing my attention that I've got to make it happen when it's really happening right in front of me all the time.
Yes, precisely. So the image that just came to me was, you know, I really want to dance. I love to dance. Well, not with that person. Well, not that kind of dance. I don't like that music. Well, do you want to dance or don't you want to dance? Because dancing is dancing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just this great, this having this Sangha support. And just really quickly before that last bell rings is the yes is to what I keep coming back to. That's my one and only job is to say yes and keeping practice at the center of that yes. I mean, it's just what will perpetuate that and keep training me deeper and deeper throughout my whole life to make yes. that centerpiece. And so it's really just deep bows for the Sangha support and for just the teaching and just everything that's being offered.
Good. Well, thank you. And just to follow up briefly on that, because that's such an important point that you're making. What for most people, they've spent a lifetime saying yes to conditioning and no to life. And that's what we're going to reverse. Now we're saying yes to life and no to conditioning. And it's a huge transformation. And it's pretty immediate.
Yeah, it really is.
So yes to that.
Yes. All right.
Thanks, Rebecca. Good
Thank
night.
You. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to a special two-hour edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
I'm shocked. I'm unmuted. This is Susan Paul from L.A.
Hello, Susan.
Hi. I was just checking in about practice, and I also listened to the Sunday video workshop. And the thing that stayed on my mind was that whole idea of just twinkling with whatever that is, because I tend to always think that to be in that place, I have to be doing something.
Yes.
Like, if I love somebody or I care about this or I want that, that to have that feeling is a result of some action.
Yes. Yeah, doesn't conditioning want us to believe that? So we leave we leave the experience to go do something. We do pretty most often take the experience right away from us.
Yeah, versus it's just such a revelation that it's available to me all the time, and it doesn't have to be work and striving and a plan, and I don't have to counter it and make a point. And
yeah,
it just took the work right out of it.
Yes, so, and put joy right in it.
Yeah, so I mean, there was so much on there and I think the twinkling and the yes go together, but for me, it's sort of can be a workaholic personality. It was just a really different paradigm. And so I'm letting myself just kind of rest in that idea and that joy instead of one more thing to strive towards.
Yes. And with that, in that relaxed place, that open, relaxed place, then life can give you the thing to do that won't actually be a doing. It will just be a being in action.
Yes. Yeah, and that whole metaphor, I think it was you talking about, is sort of like when the time's right, you step into the stream where somebody was, wherever that stream happens to be. And that I don't necessarily have to make big, hard decisions, because if I trust the process going on inside, when that moment shows up, I'll step in.
Yes. Yes, you will.
And it's a different place for me to live from, because it's really less controlling.
Yes. Yeah. It reminds me, I say this often, and I always wonder if people actually get what the saying means, but it is, no deed there is, no doer thereof. And it simply points to what you're saying. You are an expression of life. Life is living you perfectly. Everything that you do is life doing. And from that place of recognizing it, it's effortless. It's so relaxing, because life will give you the next step to take, the next whatever it is, and you can rest in complete comfort and confidence, knowing that your life is perfectly in life's hands. And it doesn't require an ego to do anything. All it requires is this expression of life that we call you to show up and be present and be animated.
Yes, and that what is animating me is towards joy, not suffering.
Precisely.
You know, because there's some kind of trust. It's like not having Captain Kirk there running the ship, that really is going along the way it's meant to. And then my other thought, the only other piece I had was just helping the sense of, instead of I'm striving towards making myself, changing, all that kind of work, was the sense of blooming, which is really
the sense
different.
Of
blooming, like a flower,
blooms. Yes,
it's going
yes.
to bloom. That's it. That's in the story, and that's much more heartfelt than all the
yes.
effort.
And it's such a lovely image of the beauty in that process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well,
thank you so much. I'm holding on to that. Yes. Thank you.
Good.
Bye.
And twinkling. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy from Florida.
Hi, Sandy.
Hello. I just wanted to say hi and thank you so much for everything you do. Sunday was awesome.
Good.
Was just absolutely wonderful, and I don't know what I would do without this program and this practice. So I'm on board and listening.
I like
the idea of sparkling.
Uh-huh.
Twinkling.
Sparkling, twinkling, glittering.
Yes, I like all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's my goal, to listen to the rest of the show and get on board with the email class and find my own way of sparkling, twinkling, and glittering.
Perfect.
Thank you so
much. All right. Thank you, Sandy. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. And we have another caller.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
This is Beth.
Hello, Beth. Tell us about bringing more of life into practice.
Okay, which is kind of what we talked about the last time I called. The thing I'd like to really point to is the daily recollection.
Uh-huh.
As I'm going throughout the day, I'm finding that since I say it every morning and I have my particular favorites, parts of
mm-hmm.
it, it's something that's easy for me to kind of give my attention to.
Yes, instead of voices in your head that might not be as supportive of you as the daily recollection is.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of finding that the other thing that the daily recollection gives me is that it's something I do within the first half hour of waking up.
Mm-hmm. To set the tone.
To set the tone and to kind of break conditioning's hold over the, you know, the nightly dreams.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
like
a,
Yeah.
Waking
the transition.
Up in the morning is, yeah, because it's like it's already been pointed to. For me, one of my biggest conditioned areas is the victim, and when something comes up, if I don't give it a choice, that's who's going to take over. That's who's going to respond.
Yes. That's a really important point. That is definitely an argument for being present all the time, isn't it? Because if nobody else if you're not going to be there with life, well, karmic conditioning will come in and take over your life.
And has, since infancy. And before, throughout again and yet again and before the beginning of beginningless time. kind of thing. But at the same time, what's coming up right now is I fail more often than I succeed. So I don't have any right to talk about how I'm succeeding in practice.
Well, that sounds like a message from self-hate. And, the only way we can get that kind of message is if we are looking to conditioning, to karmic conditioning, to judge us, criticize us, compare us, and that sort of thing. If we're doing that, then we'll come up a failure. So
again and yet again.
My encouragement is to expand your repertoire and see what it is that life is going to offer you to take up more of your time, attention, and energy so that more of that time, attention, and energy is coming back to life. So stick with us. Email class coming up. Lots of good possibilities.
Yes, and thank you.
Good. All right, thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm very good.
Good.
I'm very good. I'm making green velvet soup from the cookbook.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Good. And it's funny because I was walking home from the subway earlier and had total takeover today and was feeling really bad and went right to the cookie bakery on the way home and got like the 4 cookies and was like eating them as I'm walking home. And then this thing dropped in, which was like, you could also make that green velvet soup that you really love and that you've been wanting to make. So I guess that's what I thought of around the topic was, I don't know, it always just helps me to add things because conditioning wants me to think like, okay, not only do you have to do this practice, but you have to give up this.
Yes, yes, yes.
And when
it
I
is
found
the world,
it
is the world of not enough and something wrong. Right, so
exactly.
That's what it's going to project onto you that you need to live in.
Yeah. Especially around practice, which is, you need to do these things and give up these things because they're not practice. They're not good for practice. They're not supportive of practice. So I guess when I was first starting and actually throughout practice, it just really helped me to focus on this idea of just adding practice throughout the day. And somehow that just takes care of everything.
Yeah.
I don't have to get rid of anything.
Yeah. I woke up this morning thinking about this very subject and how really fiendish it is that karmic conditioning tells a person what will take care of you is what feeds conditioning. So cookies. And it prevents us, what it says is deprivation is doing the thing that would actually take care of your heart, talking to the mentor, doing some recording and listening,
doing a two-chair exercise, you know, meditate, whatever it is, all those things that would actually bring you back to yourself and legitimately make you feel good are seen as, oh, God, the hard stuff of practice, whereas this nice cookie is really going to make you feel better. And it's, I think, largely because it's talking to little kids. People will fall for that every time and then get the beating, of course, as the cookie, the last bite of cookie goes down. So I was just looking at that very thing, how it frames things in those opposites.
Absolutely. And I actually had another experience of that when I was coming up to my apartment. Oh, was that our bell?
I'm afraid it was. But you can tell me anyway. Go ahead.
Well, one of my neighbors went away, and she asked me to get her mail, and I had, like, all these groceries, and, you know, I was like, I don't want to sort through our mail. It was, and, you know, put her stuff in the bag and take my stuff upstairs. It felt like an incredible burden, suddenly, to do that. And I don't know, something dropped in and was like, let's just do it. Let's just do it. And it was so fun for some reason, like the different size envelopes. I didn't have, looking at, whose name, like some people who used to live here and don't anymore. And it was so freeing to do that, to do something different than what conditioning wanted me to do. That's the ticket.
Yep. I just had this vision, too, I don't know, but with something like the green velvet soup, you know, that could be a great fundraiser. Green velvet soup for the whole office.
I love that idea.
Okay.
I love that
no
idea.
Cookies,
thank
just
you.
Green velvet soup.
No cookies,
okay.
All right,
thanks.
Bye.
Jill. Good night.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Jen. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. Jen, would you like me to take another caller or two?
Well, I think it might be. I can't believe it, but it might be time for our break already. I just had to slip in there that I cannot wait to listen to this archive. I'm over here madly taking notes, Sherry, as you're saying. You're saying peace quote after peace quote. And
yes.
My favorite so far is that the theme of this year is we're saying yes to life and no to the conditioning. We're turning the tables.
Uh-huh.
Love that.
Me too. I was kind of thrilled with that myself when I saw it, because that is the 180 that we're doing with practice. I mean, when we come to practice, that is what we're doing. We're turning our lives upside down in that way.
And it's as if, you know, we lined up the callers to make all the points, because that's what you were just talking about with Jill.
Isn't that good?
So
life is good.
It is.
It's just exactly as the T-shirt says. Life is good. We are completely taken care of.
Really, really are. All right, Michael, so let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll come back and segue into our second segment.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to a very special two-hour edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber. Okay, Jen and Sherry, it's all yours.
Thanks, Michael.
It's funny because I just realized that both of those ads, especially the one, the Porch Dog software one, is so perfect for segueing into our next segment, which is about being lit up. So we've talked a lot about that already this evening, but I wonder, Sherry, so as far as I can remember back, you've always had that sort of be a central focus for us in practice. And I wonder if you might say another word or two about why. What about that is such a key point in being central to practice?
Well, you can't be lit up from any place other than being with life.
Yeah.
It's most people's clearest experience of being with life. That's what it feels like. Now, the whole notion of what you do with that, you know, is slightly off to the side, although not really. So what we're doing in practice always is aligning ourselves with the energy that animates us. And a good, for me, expression to capture that is lit up. So when we are moving in sync with life, that's the way we feel. We're energetic, we're enthusiastic, we're excited. And then some of the other characteristics, you know, open-hearted and generous and kind and compassionate and understanding, and all of those kinds of qualities are life's qualities. And when we are living with life, when there isn't when our attention and energy isn't being diverted into maintaining an illusion of something other than life, namely ego, then we feel ourselves to be an expression of life. And then life is directing us toward what will keep us in that relationship with life. So that's where the creativity comes from, and the ability to manifest, if you will, not in that kind of magical thinking way, but just if you see something that life has offered you, it's yours. If you pursue it, if you do that thing, it will come into fruition.
Hmm.
And life is offering us those kinds of opportunities all the time.
Hmm.
So always, again, I think I said this on Sunday, the Joseph Campbell had the best line, and it is the one who made it the most famous, about following your bliss. Bliss is another word for life.
Yep.
And so if there's something that takes you to that blissful place, and bliss, you know, that's kind of a strong word. So, you know, ecstasy would work too, or just really happy, or, you know, the kind of sparkling, twinkling thing. But it's feeling like you think with life. You're in the right place at the right time. It's working. There's nothing wrong. And that doesn't mean that all kinds of things can't happen.
Yep.
We still fall down and get hurt and lose money, and people die, and we get sick, and, you know, everything in life happens. The difference is there isn't anything wrong with any of it.
Yep.
And so we're going through it with life. In life's care. And so there's a sense of well-being
and goodness about all aspects of life.
And
we can turn that into what supports us.
Yeah.
People don't have to go to grim, grisly places and do work that they hate.
Yeah.
We don't. Life will provide us with everything we need as we turn our attention there, as we give ourselves to life.
That was so clear and helpful. You know, we were talking on Sunday about exactly what you're saying, that it's a portal, that the going to what lights us up is a portal to being with life. But somehow in what you just described, even it peeled off another layer for me, and just really seeing that that's why you're always pointing us to that, because it's, well, you said it, it's a direct expression of being able to experience what life actually is and what, if you can say this, what life wants for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when we do that, when we connect with something that lights us up, it's a way of finding that. You know, sometimes we use that metaphor of tennis, and I'm trying to hit the shot, and suddenly I hit the shot just right there. And now that's so helpful because I have a feeling, sense, and experience of what I'm going for. And it seems like that's what's available to us in finding something that lights us up. We have an experience of what life is, and so even when we're not there, we still have that. We know what we're practicing.
Yes, and, you know, this is kind of the opposite to the way people ordinarily think of it, but I think so much of suffering is a result of doing something that's really hard to do, which is trying to stay separate from life. It takes a lot of tense muscles, a lot of miserable thinking, a lot of focus on what's hard and what's not working, and constant reminders of past failures and predictions of gloom and doom.
Yeah.
And it takes a tremendous amount of strength and energy to remain in that illusion of separation in the face of all that life is offering us in every moment.
Wow. Which explains why when we start practicing being lit up, the energy builds on itself, because there's so much energy there being siphoned off into suffering. Suddenly we're in an experience of what lights us up. There's tons of energy available, and in that there's just, at least for me, it's such a relaxation and an expansion that the energy builds on itself.
Yes, yes. And then, of course, that's when twinkling and sparkling becomes so important, because conditioning wants to jump in immediately and start siphoning that off. And we must learn to be able to contain greater and greater and greater amounts of energy and to stay present while that's going on.
Yeah, I suspect that's going to be a big piece of, you know, we're going to have ongoing support for folks over the year. And as we're talking, I'm just realizing that'll be a big piece of it, is people are going to have a ton of energy available to them and how to deal with that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It can be uncomfortable. It can actually be uncomfortable for a while until people get used to it. We have a habit of keeping our energy level at a certain point, and the way that that's kept, of course, is that it's constantly being siphoned off. So when we start bringing it all back to ourselves, suddenly, you know, people get nervous because, whoa, I'm not sleeping. Well, that's okay. You know, when you get tired, you'll sleep. But if you have so much energy rocketing around in your body that you can't sleep, well, enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. You can get up and work on your project.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very fun. So we have a caller lined up to start us off on this topic as well. Anne is joining us, who's been in the Sangha for many, many years and had a really quite a fun experience with being lit up recently. She had an insight around it that she agreed to join us this evening to talk about. So welcome, Anne.
Hey.
Hey. So I wonder if you could just start off and tell, you know what, Anne, actually, before I do that, I want to ask people, while Anne and I are talking, this is a time that people can begin to call in if they'd like to speak to the topic of being lit up. You know, telling us about your experience of that, and especially what your experience is of how do you assist yourself in actually following through on what lights you up. And if anyone's been in the queue and you didn't get on in the first segment, you're welcome to stay in the queue and speak to the second topic, but we are going to, you know, they're fairly similar, so you can probably more fit in, but we are going to speak to this topic now, to the lit up topic. And if you have something, again, that doesn't speak to the topic, you're welcome to call in a future show. So, Anne, without further ado, what maybe you could tell us about your recent lit up experience.
Okay, I'll try not to take much time saying it, but religiously, every year I went to the Carmel, to the New Year's retreat, which was at Carmel, for years and years and years, and then for 3 years.
Carmel New Year's retreat at Santa Sabina.
Yeah, now it's changed. But for 3 years I couldn't go, and then I was just so grateful to go this year, which is, it's now at Santa Sabina, beautiful location. And at the end, Sherry was talking about this idea she had to get 300 people to commit, to each commit to raise $1,000 to support the monastery. And so then that would be the annual operating budget for the monastery. And you know, she was, of course, very lit up about this. And, of course, I had been on a retreat for 5 days. So I'd been in silence for 5 days, meditating for 5 days, doing a workshop for 5 days. So I had the wonderful opportunity to sit and watch a response arise that normally I would think is me. But I got to sit and watch this response that went, oh, God. You know, it's like, oh, no. I'll just write a check. You know, I don't like to do fundraising. I hate this stuff. You know, you know, just resistance, you know.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, grace, who knows, maybe because of the gratitude of being able to be back with Sangha for New Year's, that I was able to just sit and watch that arise. And then underneath that, all of a sudden this fun idea came up, and I went, wow, I could do that. And I, all of a sudden, it's kind of, I was really touched by what Tricia was singing in the ad for Simply Celebrate, that shine where you are.
Yes.
It's kind of like, and what Sherry was talking about, how we think we have to try and it has to be hard.
Yes.
That if we can just drop into who we are and let that shine, it's like, wow, it's really easy. So I used to, as part of the fundraising, we used to do, and we still do, annual garage sale to raise money for the Mountain View Zen Center. And so I started doing this thing where I'd send out an email to everybody saying, clean out your closets for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd get all my friends to, and then they'd go, oh, yeah, I've got all this stuff in my closet I don't want anymore. So I'd collect all this stuff for the fundraiser from people, and I figured, well, it's a win-win because, you know, they get rid of their stuff and raise money for the Zen Center. So I decided to send out an email that said, complete your incomplete projects for a good cause. And then I began to list all the ways I could help people complete their incomplete projects, and that I was, you know, I told them that it was, I was going to donate whatever money they donated to the Zen Center, and I didn't care how much it was. It could be just be for a Starbucks coffee. That didn't matter. I, you know, the fun of it was going to be they got to get their project completed. I got to help them, and we got to raise a little money for the monastery.
Yeah. You know, what I love about it, it reminds me of the conversation, I guess it was Sherry was having with Ramita early on in the show, of, well, you said it, that just dropping into what you, or not going out to figure out some big fancy thing,
yeah,
but what you already have, what life is already offering,
yeah,
in this case, Anne. And then it's just easy and fun.
Well, and, you know, I think there was such an important point made by somebody who wrote in, I was going to say a caller, but somebody who emailed in on Sunday's workshop, because the person said, I think they said color and fashion, and I've always been told that that's a stupid thing to love. And I so related to that, because what I'm told, you know, like one of the things I love to do, which is conditioning would tell me is really stupid, is clean out closets. I mean,
yeah,
you know, whenever I clean my house, the first thing I do is I clean out the closets, because, you know, to me, a clean house is not cram everything in the closet and close the doors. That is not a clean house. So I was just so related to that, because a lot of the things I put on the list, conditioning would say, well, that's a really stupid thing, and you shouldn't, that doesn't count. That doesn't count as shining where you are, because that's a stupid thing to shine over.
Oh.
You know, so to just say, you know, I really like to bargain shop. You know, I like to go in thrift stores and come out with an outfit that's gorgeous that only costs me $5.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay.
And you know there's going to be the person out there who's saying, oh, my God, someone's going to help me clean out my closet. It's like a miracle.
Well, exactly. And I was kind of having fun with the email, and I happened to mention, I thought, well, why am I mentioning this? That's kind of stupid. But I have, again, you know, you can see one of my voices is it's stupid. But one of the things I happened to mention, because I one of the things I offered to do is to tutor people, because I've tutored people to in physics and math and all high school kids, you know, to going into high school. So I said in there, I said, you know, I got a perfect score on the SAT. And so in the back of my head, I'm going, well, that's kind of a strange thing to put in there. But I put, you know, it's not really good for anything, but I got a perfect score. One person actually contacted me asking for help because I put that in there. She said, I got a perfect score on the SAT too, and so I figure you're the person to help me. So, you know, it's like no editing. Just let it flow. I mean, I'm having so much fun. I have had people contact me. I never expected to contact me. And my practice has been I say yes to every email that comes in.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of them aren't going anywhere, but I don't care because I'm like, okay, I would have never expected that, and I'm saying yes to it, and then see what happens.
Yeah, I love the conversation that Sherry was having earlier around, so we, you know, I want to dance. And then life gives me all these ways to dance, and yet
right.
That's not the way I wanted to dance, and so I say no, no, no. But to
right.
Have that practice of we don't have any idea, you know, we set an intention, we don't have any idea how life
right.
Will go up to assist us with it. But if we say yes, you can know it's going to come to fruition.
Right. Well, that is exactly what happened because I sent this email out to a bunch of people, you know, I just, you know, acquaintances, friends, an email, and somebody forwarded it on to somebody. So I got an email from somebody I didn't know, and my first reaction was, well, I don't want to deal with somebody I don't know. And then I thought, oh, no, no. And then I got an email from somebody on the East Coast who said, well, why don't you fly out here and help me for a week, and, you know, I'll give you $1,000. I'm like, oh my, I'm like, I don't want to fly all the way to the East Coast and spend a week. And then I thought, well, no. I mean, so it's so interesting that the first response is no.
Yeah.
I mean, I think basically that's when we're talking about a year of saying yes to life and no to conditioning, I can just expect that I'm going to have a no response, and I can just watch that and go, oh, well, isn't that interesting? Well, I'd rather say yes.
So perfect. So I'm projecting, Anne, that you're lit up.
Oh, my God. Oh, and then I have to tell you. So yesterday afternoon, one of the people who emailed me wanted help. She's got a business, and she's trying to get it organized, and so she said, I need help. Come help me. So I sat down with her, and I looked at her, you know, I spent the afternoon with her, and I looked at her system. I said, you know, you really need an accountant. You need somebody to come in here and lay a solid structure for you so you can build on top of it. I said, it's like building a foundation for a house. And she's into alternative medicine, and she looked at me, and she said, yeah, but, you know, accountants aren't spiritual. And I said, well, you know, you need to get beyond that belief because I practiced regularly at the monastery with a fantastic accountant, and let's just set the intention that the perfect accountant who understands what you're trying to do in your business will be there for you and give you what you need. So I'm so lit up because I feel like I'm being able to be of service. And frankly, I don't care if I raise any money. But I mean, I will. But that's not the point. I'm saying yes to life.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep. Well, and thank you for being our poster child.
Yeah, well, I could go on and on, but I know you guys have a program, so I should stop talking.
But that's the nature of being lit up, isn't it? You just want to talk about it all day.
It's great, and you know what it is? It's, you know how we talk about all the time that we represent practice, and that's what I'm realizing in this. Through accepting, you know, what I love, okay, my bliss is to clean out closets, so what? That through representing, being lit where I am, shining where I am, I get to represent practice through that.
Yes, yep, perfectly stated. Thank you. Excellent. All right, Anne, well, we're going to take some other callers, so thank
okay,
you
thank you
for being with us this evening. All right, so Michael, again, I bet we have all kinds of callers waiting, huh?
We do.
Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I am. That was so fun. I feel completely lit up. I'm gonna decide what my talents are, and I'm gonna put them out in the world too. So. All right, here we go.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
What are you lit up about?
Well, I guess what I'm most, I really loved that last caller. That was really, really cool. And I, one of the things I really loved about it was, you know, when she was saying shining where you are, and that's kind of what I've been looking at is, you know, where am I and where do I shine in my life? During the thing that we did on Sunday, I guess that was like a video conference thing, and, you know, we were thinking about what lights us up, and what I've noticed is that conditioning has particular responses to that question. You know, like it's like I know what lights me up, but I don't really know, but I have a hunch that that's actually conditioning answering that question. And so what I've been looking at is, you know, really trying to open myself up to see like what lights me up instead of thinking I, you know what lights me up.
Yeah.
And so the way that, and so like I think that the last caller like really sort of, it was like really neat because that's one of the things I've been looking at. Like, you know, where in my day do I feel like it, where in my day am I feeling this like feeling lit up, you know, and like talking to people who love me and like, you know, just really kind of turning into a project of like what lights me up. And what I'm seeing in that is that that whole process actually lights me up.
Yes. And, you know, I was quite serious about it. I'm going to find out what my talents are because I read Anne's email. And the thing that was so extraordinary for me about it is that she really did list this like 8 or 10 or whatever it was things that she's good at and really enjoys. But they don't have anything to do with, say, what she does for a living. And that's so much, to me, the secret of this, is that we often trade off our time and energy to do something that conditioning tells us we should be doing, and then it just causes us to slide right over those things that are happening all day long that just kind of make our heart sing, but we're not allowed to think of those as something that we could give ourselves to. To any degree, and certainly not that we could do that. It would benefit other people. It could be a matter of service. It could actually generate funds to support ourselves and practice. But they're there. They're there all day long in our lives.
And I think the like opening myself up to you know, the big things, the small things, the, you know, everything, you know, what conditioning labels as the big, the small, the ugly, the pretty, the, you know, the right, the wrong, like just kind of like letting go of that and just ask, actually seeing like what's true. What lights this person up? Not like what should light this person up.
Exactly. And in that way, Anna, what has been taken away from you? What did light you up that you were talked out of? You know, that's still just lurking around, but in those little tiny places. This is very good, isn't it? It's exciting.
So thank you. This has been really fun.
Oh, good. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Debbie.
Hey, Debbie. What lights
you up? Hi, Michael. Two major projects, and one has been longstanding. I guess they've both been longstanding, and one is bringing yoga into schools to children, and it's specifically schools and specifically inner city schools. And when I came back from the monastery my first retreat there's nothing wrong with you, I came back and found myself in an experience where I had to rewrite manuals I had spent, you know, a year and a half writing. I wrote them for upcoming trainings, each one in 2 weeks, and I'm really, really happy with them. And they include reflective listening. This project very much lights me up, and the willingness that I experience around this whole project where I'm
baking for the kids and I'm in traffic and, you know, very, very patient with starting at a new, with how things are at the outset of a program at a school and sweeping the floors, and whatever is required, it just doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah.
And that is extraordinary. You know, it's extraordinary to see, like, the level of commitment and how nothing seems to phase, nothing seems to matter.
Yeah.
And I feel like within that, there's been this growth process towards a longer-standing, quieter goal that had been sort of it was still being yearned for, but kind of lost.
Mm.
But I feel like the transformation that was able to happen through that project, which is ongoing, has allowed this personal goal to start to come to fruition. And I'm watching how things are just sort of, I mean, my statement when you were talking about what we would say to ourselves when we describe ourselves as lit up on Sunday was, to flow with grace. And I just feel like, you know, it's like doors are opening in a way that's giving me lots of confidence on the personal goal that I thought was lost.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk about bringing more of life to practice, I feel like in many ways there's more of me and there's more of life being brought to practice in the sense that the strength of my commitment goes beyond just the practice periods.
Yes.
To whatever I'm doing.
Yes.
And there's a real grace in that.
Yes, and it's flowing. So it sounds like you're definitely on track here.
I'm feeling so happy and grateful, and my time is up.
Son of a gun.
Thank you so much for all of the supports and all the practice.
Yes. Oh, well, you're welcome. Thanks for all you're doing.
My pleasure.
All right. Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Debbie. We have
That's the thing, Michael, that each person, we cannot lose sight of that. Each person is doing what they're doing, and it's for all of us. Each of us doing what we can do, bringing what we can offer. I know there are a ton of old folk tales about that. We should look them all up and recite them to each other because it's that you bring the best that you've got. Debbie brings the best that she's got. Jen brings the best that she's got. We all bring, and together we have everything that each of us and all of us need.
Yeah.
Good.
And we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Oh, lost that one. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jessica from Mill Valley.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi. This is crazy that I'm on because there seem to be so many real reasons why I couldn't stay on the phone for this long because I've been on the phone since the beginning. And one of the real reasons. Well, one of the real reasons was that, Jen talked about how we had to stay on the new topic. And so I basically decided that I'm going to figure out how to stay on this topic because this is the first time I've actually tried to do something with practice for probably 8 months now. And so I just wanted to make sure that all of those reasons didn't actually convince me to get off the phone.
Good. So
and
tell us about being lit up.
Well, I have a six-month-old, and so that is...
Talk about lit up, huh?
He is lit up all the time.
Yes.
And,
middle of the night.
Yes.
No matter what's going on. Yeah.
For sure.
Plugged in.
And I think that
even though I haven't, you know, this is only practice opportunity I've been able to take part in this whole time. I can't even do reflective listening or anything just because he demands so much of my time and attention. But I think that my year of deepening practice is to learn how to be lit up in every moment with him.
Yes. And you've got this little Buddha right there, right?
Yes.
You carry around with you all the time who can model for you being just perfectly fine with everything exactly as it is.
Yep.
Which has to include screaming at the top of your lungs if things aren't going the way you would like in any given moment.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a perfect role model.
Absolutely. So I'm really grateful that I was able to stick around. And it really I have a lot of gratitude that the voices didn't, one of the real reasons that I couldn't stick around was because my voices were telling me that I was neglecting him by not fully there with him, and I guess kind of lit up in the way that they picture being lit up is.
Yes.
While I was listening to the call, and so. I feel lit up now, having been able to do this call, and he's smiling, and so that's all good.
Yes, it is, and the thing that hopefully you will always keep in mind is that he doesn't need all of your attention as directed by karmic conditioning.
Sure. Yes.
Some of your attention, when it's coming directly from life, is going to go a lot farther in giving him what he wants and needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you are so welcome. Thanks for staying with us, and good night.
Good night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jessica. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Huh.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Am I on?
Yes.
Welcome. Oh, I am really off topic because I didn't even realize I had called where I could actually talk on the show. This is Gwen in Midland.
Hey, Gwen.
Hi. I talked to you last week.
Yes, I know. We have a very, very fuzzy connection, at least on where I'm listening from. So I don't know if there's anything you can do about.
Is that better?
1,000%. Perfect.
I was listening through my Bluetooth. Well, I will stay on topic by saying I talked about this last week. I am lit up about painting, and it is overflowing in my life and everything I do. And
don't you love it?
It's very zen in the moment.
Yes, yes. And beautiful, right? I mean,
and beautiful.
It's a service to all, right? You're lit up, you're happy, you're excited. My teacher would call it a social relief, right? Your needs are met, so you're not haranguing other people, trying to get them to be who your conditioning says they ought to be. You're just a pleasure to be around. A good energy chick, as we like to say.
Well, I hope so. I feel that way. And
often
I try to stay in that same mood, in that same mood through the day. And and remember that art is life, and life is art.
Yes. Well, and so much of the recording and listening work, what you practice is what you have work, is around exactly that. And that's what you're bringing is an essential point to this conversation. So you're painting, and you're completely lit up. You're just pulsating over there, right? And and so that you know what that feeling is, because it's there all the time that you're doing this thing that you love. And then it carries over, right? So you've been doing this thing that you love, and now it's time to put it aside because of whatever. But the feeling stays with you. And what you can do increasingly is practice being in that feeling, whether you're holding a paintbrush or not. because that feeling is the feeling of being at one with life.
Yes.
So that's
verbalized it quite that way.
Well, because of course, what conditioning would want to do, conditioned mind would want to, as quickly as possible, leap in there with something wrong, something missing, loss, lack, deprivation, worry, you know, past, future, all that stuff, suck that good energy out of you, and then leave you in a state of mind of just focusing on its version of the problem that is life. But if you ground yourself completely in that feeling of being at one with life, then you can keep turning your attention there no matter what it's trying to get you to focus on. You just keep your attention right there with life, and you just live your whole life in that feeling of open-hearted connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about.
It goes back to that experiential thing, that keep the voices out of it and stay in the experience itself.
That's right. Yep, that's right. Give all of your attention and awareness to where you want to live, and that is with life.
Because you cannot paint. You cannot paint unless you're in the experience, because your hand doesn't apply any paint to the canvas.
That's right. And karmic conditioning is a really rotten artist.
Yes.
Whereas we have endless evidence that life creates beauty without any effort at all. I think somebody's ringing our bell. What do you think, Gwen?
I hear her in the background, and thank you so much for the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Take care. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Gwen. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Oh, lost that caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. It's Jonathan from England.
Oh, hello, Jonathan.
I just thought I'd check in. I didn't even realize it was a special show.
Well, tell us about being lit up.
About being lit up. I think, for me, I'm lit up about looking back over the year and seeing how things have changed for me.
Uh-huh.
That's the, what's the word? Things have changed. It's hard to kind of describe it sometimes, but I think I've seen how my self-hate started its life. And I've really started to bring all these different aspects of myself into compassion.
Uh-huh.
And it's been an amazing process. I mean, a couple of years ago, I didn't realize that that would be something that I might want to do.
Right.
Because I was just following the world, really.
Yes.
That's the way I was brought up. You know, it's all the external things that make you happy. Go after those. If it doesn't work, take an antidepressant. I don't know.
Yes. And know it's your fault.
Yeah, and I bought that. And I think when I realized how that started about 11, 12, 13, once I understood how it started, how I gave it its power, I think I started to understand that I could love this troubled teenager, and I could love this person who wanted to drink too much, and I could love this person who wanted to work too hard. And
yes. And that is the kind of foundation lit up, isn't it?
Yeah,
realizing that there are other possibilities in life than the ones that we were taught to believe are available to us. That we can actually choose love. That we can bring our lives into compassion and make our own happiness.
Of course, and I think I thought that I'd sort of taken off from the beginning, but it wasn't really like that. because I kept having these insights and breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't have a great deal of reality. And I kept falling into depression. I was like, this isn't working. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I'm meditating, I'm reading the books, I've listened to the archives, and okay, so now it's not working. You know?
And all the time, you're transforming.
Yeah. But in a way that was so difficult to discuss with other people. And then finally I started to realize, like, I'm giving myself what I actually need. I'm not asking other people for it in the same way. I'm asking other people for things, but not in the same way. And so it's a beginning. I think that's where I'm
at. Yes. Yes. Very good. And it's, and again, it's a lit up time. And especially when we don't look to karmic conditioning to know how we're doing. We just focus on the love, focus on bringing people into the compassion, focus on enjoying our life and being grateful. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for doing a double bill.
All right. All right. Good night.
Good night. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Janet from New Hampshire.
Well, good evening.
Hi. I'm so excited to get on because I was doing a training for the last, like, maybe 5 months and couldn't get on Tuesday nights.
Oh.
So I'm just thrilled, and I feel like I'm lit up about everything, which is, I've been just thinking, you know, after Sunday and then today, how much practice is just totally in my life. I mean, with everything that I do, there really is no separation anymore. And I just really didn't really see that totally till, you know, tonight on the phone. You know, when I was thinking about it, and I was like, wow, everything I'm doing is infused with practice.
And you know, that's kind of what it's what Jonathan was looking at. A different relationship with it, but the same process. You know,
mm-hmm.
we start out with practice, and we can't really tell where we are, because there's really nothing to compare it to. But then we realize, you know, something happens and we get a view of ourselves and we realize we're changed. And that begins to build our hope and confidence that we can continue. And then as you describe, one day you realize, well, my whole life is practice.
There's
anything that isn't.
And I feel like that's what I've been doing, is saying yes. I mean, just saying yes and saying yes and just like over and over. And one thing that I'm fortunate enough to be able to be facilitating a group every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that is one of the best parts of my life. Being able to facilitate a group and have people start to find out about practice and get really just, it's such a deep experience.
Yes.
And I just had group tonight, and it to see what people are realizing and seeing and how much I learn from them.
Yes.
That's what I love. It's like I'm doing something, but I'm getting everything.
Yes. Isn't that the best? They think they're getting everything, and you know you're getting everything.
I'm getting everything.
It's a very good contract.
I just love it. I love it. And one other really quick thing is I was in a Zumba class the other day, speaking about dancing, and I teach aerobics and I teach yoga and all these kinds of things. And I looked around the room, and everyone was so happy, and they were smiling and they were laughing. And so I just signed up to do Zumba instructor training. I said, yes, I'm doing it. This is fun.
Yes, and add an element of loving kindness and support and caring, and it's absolutely practice.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and even though the bell rang, I want to say one thing about what you were just saying, that my teacher's way of talking about this is that practice is a debt that can only be repaid with the same coin. So a huge part of what we are doing in practice is attempting to keep practice going, viable, and growing, in fact, for the next generation. Because when we were looking for the thing that was going to transform our lives, people were doing practice, and we found them. And through them, we found practice, and our lives have benefited immeasurably because of that. And to be able to train ourselves and practice in such a way that we can be that for someone else is just, it's a huge gift, exactly as you're saying. Yes, it is a gift for the person who's receiving it, but it's a greater gift for the person.
It's my biggest gift right now.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
Yep, I hear you. Thank you so much, Janet.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. It's Lakota from Washington.
Hey, Lakota.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. And I'm really happy to be on the call.
Good, me too. So
yeah.
Tell us about being lit up.
You know, as I was listening, it just occurred to me that being on this call is being lit up.
yeah.
One of conditioning's most common ploys that I experience is getting talked into isolation and inadequacy, like, you know, like somehow I'm not good enough, or somehow I don't belong, or I'm not, you know, I'm not one of the gang, or, you know, I don't belong, kind of thing. And and what truly lights me up more than anything is belonging, is participating, is being accountable to people that I love and respect, and to and in that process, recognizing my adequacy and goodness.
Yes.
As just being so apparent. It's it's amazing that I could miss that, you know?
What was I thinking?
that's being lit up for me. And so being on this call right now and participating in that way, that is lit up.
Yeah. And that's the, for me, the beauty of Sangha, is that's what we get to experience. That's the mirror that we see ourselves in. We look around, we see all these amazing people who just exude goodness and kindness and compassion. And then somebody says projection, and we have to go, well, son of a gun.
Isn't that nice?
I'm here too, aren't I? Well, golly gee. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, there's the voices saying that I don't belong, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not participating, and then here's the experience.
Yes.
Well, yes, I am, and here I am, and I'm participating, and these are my people, and they're good people. I'm a good person.
It is a good deal. And that experience that it compounds. You know, it just gets to bouncing around between everybody in such a way that it becomes undeniable. Of course, which is why conditioning wants to talk people into isolation, because if we make ourselves available in the way you're describing, if we just show up and participate, then who we are is undeniably obvious. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm glad
we'll
you're
you
here.
Soon.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. And I want to check in with Jen now. Do we have time for another caller? Or are we?
I think we could take one more, Michael. We do have some things we want to do to wrap up the show in just a few minutes, but I think we have time for one more.
Okay, great.
Who do we have?
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello.
Hi. I am just, in the last 2 days, I have gone from I will never be able to figure out what lights me up to I am so inspired. Just 48 hours is just thank you for the, you know, if the deepening practice stopped right now, I have already gotten so much out of this.
Wow,
I have
and
seen,
we're just getting started.
I know. Conditioning really wanted to take over the whole what lights you up and how can you make money from it thing.
Uh-huh.
just, you got to figure this out, and just made it so dreary and so what a pain in the neck. And now I'm seeing what has happened is that I have seen, first of all, how important practice is to me and how practice really lights me up. And all of the practices I've been doing with recording and listening and going to my job and saying over and over, there is nothing wrong and everything is fine, and then being able to really be engaged with other people because I've dropped the conditioning, and all of that moment by moment is lighting me up.
Yeah,
it's just moment by moment, and it while I was listening to all these wonderful, inspiring callers, it was occurring to me, what lights me up? I'm already doing what lights me up. I just haven't been there for it.
Whoa, yes.
There's something wrong.
Uh-huh. Boy, that's such an important point, isn't it? I mean, we right smack in the middle of paradise. And if what we're listening to is a voice saying, oh, well, God, isn't this a miserable place to be? If we're believing that voice, we will miss paradise.
Yeah, yes. And, I have two part-time jobs. And when I'm not in Something Is Wrong, I enjoy both of them a lot. And it's coming to me that, you know, I'm already earning a living, and I have money available to give more to the monastery, and it's here, you know, it's here, and it's just, and that doesn't mean that there won't be something else coming up.
That's right.
In this
goodness
process.
Knows. Goodness knows what's just waiting right around the corner.
Right.
More good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for lighting me up, for helping me to see this. And I'm very inspired and very excited.
Good. And so I will say to you, thank you for being lit up.
Oh, okay.
That's what the world needs, right? And we,
yes.
You know, one of the things that we found out in doing this little project, I mean, we sort of knew it, but, you know, we're talking about people all over the world. So I think this is a lit-up revolution that's going to just sweep the planet, and compassion and kindness and bliss are just are going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
I see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I want to be part of that, and thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Kath.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. Jen, I'll turn it over to you.
Don't you just want to stand up, Michael, and say, me too?
I've been
help me in.
I've been energetically jumping up and down the whole show.
It's so unbelievable. Do you know that we took 17 callers?
Wow.
That's amazing.
How fun is that? Is that great?
Yeah, it's fabulous.
So, both with the video workshop on Sunday and with the radio show tonight, we've really been looking kind of at the philosophy behind deepening practice and what that's all about, why we want to do it, setting the tone for it. And so it's time to walk towards the implementation and the application of that. And so we actually have Ashwini who's joining us for that piece of things. So, Michael, I think she's on the line, yeah?
Yes.
Great. So she's going to assist us with kind of walking through how are we going to take all of what we've been talking about in the last few days and actually turn that into a plan, much in the way we were talking about with Renee. So welcome, Ashwini.
Hi, Jen.
Hey.
What a great show.
Isn't it fun?
It was inspiring. I'm lit up, too.
Very, very fun. It'll be fun to have this archive to go back through, you know, to listen to throughout the year.
Yeah.
So what are the next steps in the DPAP process, the Deepening Practice Action Plan process?
Well, to do one, I think. and as you said, Jen, we've been talking about why practice is important and how, you know, being lit up implies that you are at center because you can't be in conditioning and be lit up about anything. And so the next thing we're going to do is invite everyone to participate in the email class, and that will be a structured process of walking through how we are going to, what our practice focus is going to be, how are we going to execute being lit up, if you will, and put together a plan that Sherry will support us through in the next 3 weeks. And I believe the registration for the email class is open till 4 p.m. to PST tomorrow.
Okay, great. I was just going to ask about that. So the first class comes out Friday, is that right?
That's correct.
And so registration closes tomorrow, Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, so we're going to go through it step by step and look at what challenges us, what we want to practice with, what practice commitments we're going to make, and really ask for the kind of support that we need, which the monastery is going to offer in a structured way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people should stay tuned for some of the different ways in which Sherry and the facilitators and the monks are going to be supporting folks as they create their practice plan, but also as they work through it over 2012. So we just don't stop with that email class.
Right. So the 3 weeks of the email class is really a focused effort to assist people in creating the plan, but then people aren't going to be left on their own. There are going to be many, many ways to be supported throughout the year in carrying out the plan.
That's correct.
Well, very, very fun.
Yes. I can't wait to participate.
Yeah, me too. And it's fun because, as you say it, you know, the monks and Sherry and folks are going to come forward and offer their support, but I just realized everyone has a role in it. You know, there's a place for everyone to plug in and do their part all the way. Oh, this great quote. This is one of my favorite email class responses ever. In the last email class, Sherry wrote to someone who was saying, you know, she's going to rely on Sangha. And Sherry said, "You are never alone unless you want to be. You have the mentor and you have us, your Sangha. Please take full advantage of us. We're counting on you." I love those two things together, that please take full advantage of us. We're counting on you. So actually participating with Sangha is a way of supporting Sangha.
Yes, absolutely. And the wonderful part of it is that the Sangha has made it possible for everyone to have a way to participate as well, right? It doesn't matter whether you can't come on retreat to the monastery. There are a dozen ways in which you can participate anyway.
Yep. Yeah, and that in some of the upcoming shows, I think, let's see, February 7th and then 14th, we're going to be looking at some of those. What are ways you can participate in particular to really give people, as they're making their plan, give them support in choosing things, especially folks who might be newer to practice, who don't mm-hmm. know all the ways yet that practice is available, and to have people who have participated in those ways be able to talk about it and give people a sense of, well, what would be right for me in this coming year as I lay out my plan?
Right. and to introduce some of the new ways we're thinking of some new programs that we're introducing.
Yeah,
so it's very exciting.
Yeah. We talked with Sequoia last week about one of them, the Visiting Monk Program, where people can choose to come for any month that works for them through the year and mm-hmm. just be a monk for a month, see what that's like.
Yep.
So, Sherry, anything you want to add in about it as we're talking about all the next steps?
No, other than I am thrilled,
yeah.
actually. I talk about this, you know, the old days of barefoot through the snow, walking to 25 miles to school. But I do recall being at the first Zen center that we opened in Mountain View, and oftentimes sitting there by myself at meditation time because Sangha was not big enough. Sangha consisted of maybe 4 or 5 people, and they couldn't always get to meditation. And then how it's slowly grown over the years, and more people have joined in. And now with the help of wonderful people and technology, we have Sangha around the world, and that we can be in this kind of communication and support one another in what we're doing. It is beyond thrilling for me. And I can't wait to do all that I can to keep this ball rolling. And just see what we can accomplish when we all put our hearts together.
You know, that's truly an extraordinary image that you just painted there of being at that Mountain View Sangha, you know, a few people. To imagine, that truly is how this Sangha started. And it really goes back to that. We talk often about how the voices want to say to each of us, well, it doesn't matter if you participate. You know, what difference does it make? And yet to think there were those 3 or 4 or 5 people sitting there in Mountain View, and now there are truly thousands of people around the world participating in this practice.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And your point is the essential point. If those people had decided over and over again, well, it doesn't matter, I have this other thing to do and nobody's going to miss me, then it would have folded right there because I would have decided that what I really needed to do was just sit by myself. Thank you very much. But in fact, people did show up and have shown up and have stuck with it. And, you know, we were there on Sunday, and there were many people in that room who were there from the very beginning or so close to the beginning that we can call it the beginning and are still stalwarts in practice, and also new people who are just getting started and are going to continue and take the place of us old folks when we can no longer hobble in there and sit down.
It's
good.
And yes, you know, we don't know when our yes is going to be an invitation to someone else.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Wow, really fun. Well, Michael, Sherry, Ashwini, anything else before we bring the show to a close?
No, it's all
deep gassho.
Deep gassho to our guide.
Yeah.
Deep gassho to our guide.
And to everyone. And we will all reconvene formally starting next Friday. Is that correct?
Starting next Friday. Boy, we're really covering the gamut with our ways of communicating, aren't we? Video,
mm-hmm.
now we're on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have email on Friday, back on the radio next Tuesday, and so
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Don't miss the party.
Don't miss the party. Don't miss the party. And as always, deep gassho, Michael, to you for being there for these 10 years. Isn't that?
Uh-huh.
I think it seems very fitting that this is our 10th year of open air in the year of deepening practice. And
you know, Jen, when you say that, since we have just a second, so
yes.
10 years for us doing this,
yes.
25 years of precepts.
Yes. Wow.
And so this year, just a reminder to people, if you have taken the precepts and you would like to participate in a homecoming, let us know, because that's what's going to happen this year. We're going to have the bridge walk and precepts renewal around the same time, I think, if I have that right. And anybody who's done precepts and would like to come back and be with Sangha in that way, consider yourself invited.
It's interesting, isn't it, that I think we we laid down the year of deepening practice before we even really did the math on those other two things. So it's pretty mystical that it's all the same year. It really fits perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So thanks, everybody.
And thanks to Ashwini as well for, you talked about it on Sunday, Sherry, but just the incredible work that Ashwini has put into pulling all of this together has been extraordinary and quite a gift to the entire Sangha.
Indeed, that is so.
So
thanks
to everyone, all of our callers, everyone who's listening, and the entire Sangha. And we'll, as you say, Sherry, we'll keep in touch.
Good night.
Good night.